All right, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the October 8th, 2024 meeting of the Revenue Bond Oversight Committee. Can we have a roll call, please?
Member Camp absent. Member Leung.
Present.
Leung present. Member Vice Chair Boothie.
Present.
Boothie present. Member Visser.
Present.
Visser present. Chair Holliver.
Present.
Holliver present. Mr. Chair, there are four members. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. We're now going to move to item number two, which is general public comment. This is for an opportunity for members of the public to speak on items that are not on today's agenda. The clerk will call if anyone's here.
Do we have anyone here in the Tuolumne room who has general public comment for things that are not on today's agenda? It appears that we don't. Does anyone have their hand raised inside Teams? It appears that we have no speakers, Mr. Chair.
Okay, public comment is closed, and we will now go on to item number three. This is the ARBOC sunset date of January 1st, 2025. And we have several attachments here to the agenda, including the civil grand jury report, which was, I think we all saw last month, propositions D and E, which relate to the number of committees and commissions that the city under the city's purview, and reducing those in different manners. And then there's also a draft ordinance that was drafted by our Deputy City Attorney Ortega about a potential extension of the sunset date to June 2025. This would require Board of Supervisors approval. And then we also have with us the CFO of San Francisco PUC, Nancy Hom, to provide a presentation. Let's first see if there's anybody on the committee, if anyone has any initial thoughts, comments about this. Okay. Deputy City Attorney Ortega, you spoke a bit about this at the last meeting, but I don't know if you want to provide some initial thoughts.
I don't have any more to add other than the draft ordinance that is attached is identical to the one that was advanced to the board last November, with the change of, instead of it requesting a three-year term, it requests just a six-month term to June to conclude the ongoing audit, and then ARBOC would sunset at that point in time. So that's, if that's a path that ARBOC chooses to move forward with, we should withdraw and replace the advanced ordinance. ARBOC would still need to find someone to sponsor that ordinance and prepare a letter and prepare a legislative digest and navigate that with the board.
Okay. Okay, and Ms. Hom, if you'd like to provide your presentation about, I think, about what a future audit function would look like if transitioned to the PUC and as opposed to through ARBOC.
Sure. So good morning, Chair Holliver.
Can we
speak loud, please?
Okay. I'm just going to pull up the presentation on the screen. Do I need to share it from here? And I'm sorry if I...
Share.
I don't want to share.
You have to choose it from a list of shareable material.
Sure.
Or, yeah, there you go.
All right, thank you. So good morning, Chair Holliver, Vice Chair Lucy, and committee members. Thanks for having me today. My name is Nancy Hum. I'm the PUC's CFO and AGM for Business Services. I'm going to present Business Services proposal today in continuing oversight. If the ARBOC were to sunset, this would be over revenue bond expenditures. Okay. So this is our agenda today. I'm going to quickly go over ARBOC's missions and objectives to tie that in later, and then also review budgeted sources and actual uses for the committee, Then I'll walk through each of the different commitments within Business Services proposal to provide oversight for revenue bond expenditures in the future, and then conclude with a small piece for any questions that you might have. So I want to begin with acknowledging RBOC's mission and objectives. The committee was formed in response to voters approving Proposition P in 2002 for an oversight body committed to the persistent, vigorous, and independent review of expenditure of revenue bond funds for PUC's capital improvement program over the next decade. The committee was charged with three key objectives to ensure revenue bond proceeds were appropriately expended in accordance with authorizing bond resolution and applicable law, and that expenses were solely for the uses and purposes and projects authorized in the bond resolution, and that revenue bond funds were appropriately expended for capital improvement so that they provide an uninterrupted supply of water and power continuing to the city and PUC's ratepayers and customers. And as we've already discussed in this committee before, RBOC is due to sunset in January 2025. There are a number of initiatives out there, including the June 20th report from the Civil Grand Jury regarding city oversight bodies, naming that they were redundant and recommending that they be abolished inclusive of the RBOC here. Again, there's also two ballot measures before voters in November, each calling for streamlining of city oversight bodies to eliminate costs and time of inefficiencies. So over the next two slides here, I wanted to cover RBOC's budgeted sources and actual uses in a fiscal year on average. We'll start first with actual uses, and this table here shows what's expended in a year.
Is it possible to hide that so we can see the screen?
There you go. I don't think that one goes away. We might be able to drag it someplace else.
Hi.
Oh, cheers.
Oh, yay. Great. Okay.
There we are.
Thanks for hiding that. Okay. So starting with actual uses, that first row there, of the $800,000 on average each year, $400,000 is dedicated to audit services, similar to such as these phase three audit this year. And these audit services are funded by revenue bond proceeds from new money issuances from our bond issuances. And starting on the second row and below, these are some of the unbudgeted expenditures that are paid out from the operating budget. These include board of supervisor staffing costs for monthly meeting facilitation, as well as other costs inclusive of administrative travel and monthly stipends. And then lastly, other unbudgeted costs include PUC staff hours committed to providing proper responses and adequate reporting, as well as meeting attendance. And that's about 270. And again, I want to emphasize that the last three rows there, those are not funded through revenue bonds. They're coming from our operating budget. And again, that's about $800,000 annually, with $400,000 dedicated to audit services if spent in the fiscal year, as well as the remaining amount, which is from operating sources. And by comparison, I just want to highlight that PUC's financial statement audits are about $500,000 annually, and those are for the agency's an audit of the agency's financial transactions and the issuance of our three financial statements and the annual comprehensive financial report. So looking at the budgeted sources size and where they are from, they're accumulated through a fixed percentage allocation of all new revenue bond proceeds, and that ratio is 1/20 of 1%. That was set by Proposition P during a time when PUC's capital finance program was much smaller than present day. Current unspent funds at this time have grown to about $3 million over the past 20 years. The upcoming January 2025 water revenue bond sale will generate about $800 million in new monies, of which another set aside of $400,000 will be reserved for RBOC. What are we highlighting?
I have a quick question. I wasn't aware that PUC staff costs were funded by operating as opposed to through RBOC expenses. And as you've shown, we do have a large balance, about $3 million now. Are we allowed to use RBOC funds to compensate PUC for staff time to support the RBOC function?
Unfortunately not. And so the proposition requires that the funds are for audit oversight services. And so those would be for let's say a CSA audit that you procure through the city service auditor, and those are typically through a contract, and so you see the invoices coming through there, or someone you may contract with directly. Like, I think your previous committees have brought in their own auditors in the past. This is before my time. They would those costs would fund actual audit costs.
Thank you.
And so really, what I'm trying to note here is that though very important, the audit services that are being procured or contracted at this time don't require this large and a significant level of budgeted sources. These unspent funds will continue to grow into future years, and they are supporting a more narrow scope, which is to do the validation of revenue bond expenditures, in ensuring that they're spent in accordance to resolutions and law. And again, that's a performance audit. The unspent funds, unfortunately, cannot be released while RBOC is active, and so the balance will continue to grow in perpetuity. And so, again, unspent funds retained and held over multiple years are an inefficient use of ratepayer funds. And if RBOC were to continue, another $5.5 million over the next 10 years will be set aside as the PUC's capital plan will continue to grow. So over the next piece, I want to just kind of here outline what business services is proposing. And really, what we want to do is we want to reiterate that we're committed to our ratepayers, and we want to continue our RBOC's mission. And of the three areas here, and I will go over them in a little bit, they are, we will partner with the city service auditor to complete the phase three audit timely. We'll continue the objectives of the RBOC through the independent oversight of our internal audit bureau. And that oversight activities will be funded through operating funds and not revenue bond proceeds in the future. Our proposal deeply aligns with RBOC's interest that oversight of revenue bond expenditures continue. And the PUC values a robust and independent oversight of our policies, processes, and financial transactions. We have an independent audit bureau internally who oversights internal controls and compliance and facilitates all performance audits, inclusive of administering our own annual audit plan. I'm really proud to note that we are the only city department with a dedicated audit department to oversight internal controls, cost and process efficiency and compliance. That was created in 2008 and then expanded again in 2022. They do provide independent oversight and communicate to the executive team, the commission, the controller and city service auditor, as well as the board supervisors when necessary. And they are funded already through the existing operating budget. So the first step, as part of our proposal, the priority and top commitment is to complete the current audit. We'll partner with CSA to get this done. The existing audit team can quickly pick this up as they've been working and facilitating the audit as they are already, and we have a very good working relationship and partnership with CSA. We'll ensure that the audit findings are presented to management and we get proper management responses and update those to the final report. And the report will be included and presented to the commission as part of the quarterly audit performance report, which is a quarterly report of all audits from the preceding quarter. There will be follow-up. We'll ensure that follow-up is done every 6 months until all recommendations are implemented as part of our internal policy. Our second commitment is to ensure continuation of RBOC's legacy work. The Audit Bureau will assume oversight to ensure that the revenue bond proceeds are spent in accordance to their intended use in a manner that benefits ratepayers and customers of the PUC. An expenditure audit of revenue bond proceeds will be included in the annual audit plan of the SFPUC and follow the same three oversight objectives that guided RBOC. And the work will be performed by an independent auditor or the CSA. Just to share with you what our existing resources, what we have right now, is we have four staff in the Audit Bureau. That includes Irella Blackwood. She's the audit director. There's a manager, and we will have two senior analysts as well. So four staff are already dedicated to this bureau. We'll leverage work order funds and contract from the CSA's professional contractor pool. And that pool does include many types of audit firms. Some are also specialized for construction service-related audits as well. And again, we'll retain the same objectives as current RBOC audits. The scope would also be the same, but for example, we could focus on fiscal year expenditures. The methodology here would allow auditors to identify areas of challenge and issue recommendations that would make timely positive impacts. We have a couple of options to transition the work. The most expeditious would be option one. We would request, we would finish the existing audit, but we could also request PUC's existing external auditor to perform agreed upon procedures for next year's audit, or we can select another provider of construction related audit services or an audit services from the controller's contractor pool. Option two would be near same. We would request that the city serves auditor perform the work pending their availability and capacity. And if, you know, they would also potentially likely use the contractor pool as well. After some analysis, we estimate this will be about $325,000 a year. And then lastly, our third commitment, we would commit to ensure that all future audits are cost efficient and that they are funded through the operating budget. The existing $3 million of unspent funds would be returned as savings to ratepayer through the closeout of that fund. And those funds would be used to offset existing capital projects, project costs, excuse me. And lastly, the RBOC set aside of 1/20th of 1% of future revenue bond proceeds would be eliminated. That would generate immediate and future ongoing ratepayer savings in the millions of dollars from the set aside. I hope that was helpful to you today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Go back to that.
Sure.
Well, thank you for that presentation. That was very helpful. Any comments or questions from the committee?
So I just will clarify that. So because, like, the way it would work, I'm guessing, is that because the RBOC goes away, then they no longer have to collect the 1%.
Set aside, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what triggers that.
What's the mechanism for releasing the funds?
From what I understand right now, we're not able to release the funds. So it's set aside in an actual fund on its own related to the capital program, and the mechanism to release that would be the sunset of the RBOC.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's like the
as long as it doesn't exist, then the fund can be
used. Yeah, and that's why, you know, if we continue forward, I mean, I can defer to Catherine there, but if the RBOC is continuing forward, then future revenue bond sales will just continue to take 1/20th of 1% and put it into a fund specific to that bond series.
And I would just note the funds are currently held, according to Capital Finance, in the capital fund, and so they could be transferred, Edward, right? We'll work on it, but they can. Yeah.
You got
Edward is saying that it can be worked on, but they are living within the capital fund.
If they're not easily moved, they'll have to be reappropriated.
Yes.
We'd work with the controller's office to do that through a future fund budget cycle, but we would ensure that money came back to the capital program and the project will offset future appropriations.
And the speakers here are Catherine Ortega, Deputy City Attorney, Edward Kwong from Capital Finance, and Laura Bush, Budget Director.
WCFO.
WCFO.
Both for now.
Thank you. I mean, I think the proposal sounds good to me. I'm just curious, is there any, anything that the commission would have to approve or something to, how do we sort of codify this proposal? And we don't want it to be something that's sort of forgotten and kind of fades away.
Yeah.
The
one thing that we do, you know, we do issue an annual audit plan within the SFPUC. In terms of codifying it, I think I might want to defer that to Catherine.
This isn't something that the PUC would typically codify via resolution. It is something that could be presented perhaps through Dennis's general manager presentation so that the PUC would be aware of the transition plan and have awareness through that perspective. It's not something that would otherwise generally require their approval.
There's one way we could formalize it, and I would need to have deeper conversations with the controller's office if you want to see it somewhere. The controller's office issues an annual audit plan as well for the entire city, and they list it by individual departments. So what we can potentially do there is have them work, I could work with the controller's office to ensure that we can have something like the revenue bond over proceeds or expenditure audit oversight program is there. It's an annual piece, so that it is just part of their planning. It triggers something that, you know, we will work with them. The intent here was to potentially use operating funds, and that's where their work order is trying to, we would work through that. Another option, again, the most expeditious option, is to have it managed internally. We have the resources to work through the CSA's contractor pool, as we have a team here. And again, I'm actually the one who created the 2008 program, and so again, we partner very well with them, and we could ensure that we have it here at the PUC's annual plan that we send out, as well as working through the controller's office, that is also mentioned in their annual report as well. But I mean, we could also have the general manager issue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to allege anything nefarious or anything. I just want to make sure this isn't something that's just kind of thrown on the back burner and just kind of gets forgotten about in the audit plan.
There's a way to achieve visibility for this change without, but not necessarily one that requires legal approval from the commission.
I have a question about the mechanics in case this falls on the back burner. So my question is, you said that we currently collect 1/20th of 1%, right, from every bond raise. And in this last, and you said that was, that's codified by a proposition, right?
Yeah.
And so in this proposal, once the RBOC goes away, then that 1/20th of 1% is not necessary, right, and therefore we have the savings. So my question is, in the event that the RBOC does not go away, how do you reduce that 1/20th of 1%? Is the only way to do that via another proposition?
You would have to make that change to the draft ordinance.
Okay.
So assuming that the draft ordinance was included in the package is the choice, which would extend RBOC until June to finish the audit, or if the existing audit, the existing ordinance that's presented to the board passes, and so RBOC does not go away for 3 years, then at the time the water bond deal is completed, the set-aside will continue for every financing through whatever the termination date of RBOC should be.
Got it. Can I play that back, make sure I have it right? So, right now, that draft ordinance has a six-month extension horizon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we wanted to reduce that 1/20th of 1%, we would need to modify that six-month horizon draft ordinance to be a lesser amount.
You could eliminate it. I mean,
yeah, or eliminate it, right?
Based on
But make sure I have this right. However, that draft ordinance only has a six-month horizon, so that would only affect any bond raises that occur over the next 6 months. Post 6 months, then it would kind of be irrelevant because there's no...
Well, post 6 months, RBOC would cease to exist.
Okay.
Under the draft that's proposed right now.
Okay. So it's kind of... I get it.
Now or soon.
Yeah.
I have also a mechanics question. Thank you, Tiffahan, for your proposal. Do we need to, like, if we want to, do we need to adopt this or, like, do it pass any kind of formal resolution here at the RBOC level?
At the RBOC level, it would be most helpful for the body to make a vote as to which path forward it chooses. Path A would be to continue to leave the existing ordinance as advanced last November in place of the board and to seek Board of Supervisors' support for that ordinance. Path 2 would be to advance the proposed ordinance for a six-month horizon to finish the audit. And path 3 would be to accept the proposal as presented by the PUC today.
Thank you.
I had a couple of comments on the draft ordinance if we were to decide to go in that direction. I agree with Member Leung. I think it would probably be helpful to say, and we propose eliminating the 1/20th of 1% set aside. I think that would show sort of a good faith effort that, like, we're not trying to drain resources or amass more funding. I'd also recommend including some type of reference to the civil grand jury report that recommended the elimination of ARBOC, and also a reference to the ongoing audit that is anticipated to be completed and released no later than June 30th, 2025, to show that this is like purely a wrap-up period. It's not just an extension for the sake of an extension.
And just Chair Hallberg, just for confirmation, you would prefer those to be added as findings to the ordinance?
Would you
prefer to put them in a letter to the board?
No, I would like it written into the ordinance.
And
if there is going to be a letter to the board, we could include that in the letter to the board. But if we were to go forward with the ordinance, I would recommend including those clauses in there somewhere. I'd also note, I guess, sort of one of the other, you know, issues hanging over this is there's an election in a few weeks. We have these two competing propositions. My understanding is Proposition, is it D? D is the Together SF?
Yes.
That is more restrictive. Ms. Ortega, if,
more draconian.
Prop D restricts the number of bodies and commissions to, I believe, 65. And creates a mayoral level committee to navigate which committees will be remaining.
But in your opinion, it is less likely that an ARBOC extension would be plausible within the parameters of Proposition D versus Proposition E?
I don't know that it's within the Deputy City Attorney's purview to say which types of committees will live or not live. There are many, many commissions, and I'm not certain that bond oversight commissions will continue to exist under Prop D or under
But for a six-month, for a short-term potential extension?
Yes, I am just not.
I don't know. Okay.
I can't speak on that. Under Prop D, it would be a mayoral level decision, and under Prop E, is that the other one? Under Prop E, it would just be subject to a commission, to review commission.
Right.
That's a political, not a legal question.
I think I apologize. I'm not following the train of thought. Chair Hallberg, why are you bringing up Prop D versus Prop E?
My understanding, I don't know if this was brought up in the previous meeting or maybe it was something discussed off the record, but I think Prop D sets a clear limit of 65.
Okay.
There's going to be 65, no more than that, whereas Prop E, I think, allows for a potential, I think there's more of like a transition period in terms of like determining how long, how many commissions there are, which ones they're going to be, and therefore could something, some type of a short-term extension fit in with the parameters of that before those decisions are officially made.
I guess you did go to the effort to ask them to put together the ordinance through June. So I'm guessing there was some interest on someone's part of trying to finish the audit as us, right, as the RBOC. That's why we have that draft right now, if we want to try to finish the audit. And we think within the parameters of those, we should be able to continue forward if we can get that approved.
I think there's a couple of like nested ifs. Because we only have two more meetings, we just wanted to make sure to pull all our options forward because we have time to like think about it and draft it, right? As is, even if we edit and adopt the draft ordinance like now,
there's no guarantee
it's going to be really tight to have it even. And it's not clear to me that we have a sponsor or know how to have it seen.
Right.
So just given the time, I think we wanted to.
Have it there.
Yeah, like we don't have
there.
Time to like figure it out later.
Right.
One thing as part of the proposal is that, you know, we could work with you in your over the next two meetings to think about how to, you know, let's talk about a timeline, right? We can think about how we can kind of work through the next 3, 4, 6, you know, after this, and we can promptly finish the audit. You know, I we need to probably catch up with the audit team where they are and their audit timeline and their plan at this time. But we could also plan to how to finish it, you know, to make sure that the work is done.
This is Deputy City Attorney Ortega. We've also looked at the draft ordinance, and the language for the set-aside actually lives in Section 8B.124 of the Charter and is not replicated in the ordinance. So if you were to advance the 6 month or any other renewal ordinance, we cannot strip the language out because it lives in 8B.124 of the Charter. If RBOC ceases to exist, then the language in Section 8B.124 of the Charter will cease to be operative. But we cannot change the Charter here today at this meeting.
Given the uncertainty that we would need to navigate and the, in my view, low likelihood of RBOC even being extended 6 months, my view is that we should try to take control of what we can now, which is ensure kind of a timely, responsible handoff in a way that works and gives us assurance. Personally, again, my sense is that trying to advance an ordinance is a big distraction for something that we're going to have to, like, even if that does happen, we're going to have to basically have these conversations again in 6 months. And it's not clear to me that the next 6 months are so, like, our role here is so crucial that, like, we need to see it versus professional auditors who do it all the time for the same organization and potentially for the same issuances. So that's my take. I don't know if we need or can even vote or approve today. I'm happy to, like, debate it out with the rest of the group. But my sense is that this feels like a great proposal, and that we should feel good about handing it off in a way that isn't messy. For me, that's the worst outcome, is it's December 31, and we're like, great, now nobody knows what's going to happen. Or, you know, December 8th or whenever our next meeting is, and there's no time to, like, readjust.
Your comments? Thoughts?
Well, I agree. I was worried that we wouldn't get kind of there anyway if we continued on the 6 month path to even kind of get where we thought we wanted to be. Whereas I like the idea of kind of, like, we've had this proposal, we can kind of say that all sounds great, and we can, like you said, we can talk through the next meetings. Maybe there's an opportunity to kind of review the preliminary results of the audit while we're still together as a group. Even if it's not the final. I don't have any issues. I thought, you know, I agree with Chair, with Vice Chair, and some different thoughts.
Okay. Should we maybe open this up for public comment?
Do we have anyone here in the Tuolumne room who has public comment on this agenda item number 3? Appears not. If you're connected remotely through Teams and you wish to speak on this item, you can raise your hand now and we'll hear your public comment for 3 minutes. And Mr. Chair, it appears that we have no speakers.
Okay, so public comment is closed. Okay, so in terms of how to proceed with this, I don't know if any action needs to be taken at this time.
Chair Hollander.
Yes.
I would, Catherine Ortega, mm-hmm. I would recommend an action to withdraw the ordinance that was previously submitted to the Board of Supervisors last November seeking mm-hmm. advancement.
For the 4-year extension?
For the 4-year extension.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And once that ordinance is withdrawn, the board could, the RBOC could seek a recommendation,
mm-hmm.
could issue a recommendation to the PUC regarding the plan that it heard here today.
Okay. Yeah, I think that it's fine. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to be honest, my personal opinion is I'd like to see this through to finish this. I think I do understand Vice Chair Ruthie's concerns that is it that realistic that this is going to be taken up by the board? Probably not. I think it's pretty low on their list of priorities over the next 2 months, 3 months. And, you know, it seems unlikely that the audit will be finished by the end of this year. I guess we'll hear more about that in a few moments. And that this handoff probably is the most feasible way of ensuring that something gets released and that this function continues into the future. But yeah, maybe we could take a motion about whether to withdraw the ordinance to extend for 4 years. I think at the November meeting, we'll know the results of the election and whether these propositions, which if not both of them, pass. There'll be some clarity as to that. And we can discuss taking some type of a more formal action in November. I don't know.
Well, I guess I still don't know what kind of formal action we would be taking. I mean, I think, I guess I feel like today we can give direction and say, hey, we'd really like to see if we can, I mean, I've heard that there's potential option to get the, you know, see if we can prioritize the audit findings to a certain extent that we can get some draft commentary on it. I mean, that seems like of interest to us. But I don't know that there's anything formal that we do around their structure moving forward, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like just a recommendation. Which
is you could pass a motion to recommend that the PUC proceeds with a path such that Nancy presented today. I think that's the...
Would it be more helpful to have your next agenda for your November meeting constructed so these decisions are laid out in a very clear way for them to select between several different options? Would that be helpful?
I mean, I don't know that. I don't know if there's any tangible result. Oh, I don't know if it matters if we go through that motion
right.
this meeting versus the November meeting right after the election. I'm happy to do that.
I think this is Deputy City Attorney Ortega again. It does matter because you need to have an approval by this body in order to have the ordinance advanced with the hope that someone from the board picks it up. There's a very tight time frame as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wait until November to approve a replacement ordinance, that is, with the holidays, nearly impossible. It will not make it through before January 1st.
It also, Vice Chair Ruffi, it also means that if we want to talk transition with the busy team or our team, we won't be able to do that until our last meeting.
Right. Okay.
Assuming we do make that recommendation next meeting versus this meeting. I think.
So, on the topic of withdrawing the ordinance that was presented to the board with a request for introduction in November of last year, based on what's been presented and what we've had in our packet today and the draft ordinance that we have right now, I think that you should feel confident that it's fine to authorize the chair to send a message to the members of the Board of Supervisors saying we're withdrawing this, and we can record that in today's motion. That is super clear. Like, if that's helpful for you to make your decision, like that bit of things we can take care of with the motion today.
Okay.
And that would be them authorizing you to do that communication, saying we sent something to you in November. We're not pursuing that.
Yeah.
You can disregard it. Not that they were running
that's
with it anyway.
Yeah. It's going to be introduced tomorrow. okay, and then in terms of a recommendation to transfer the revenue bond audit function to PUC internal audit division, or whichever group would be that would take it. Sorry?
The audit bureau.
Audit bureau, okay. Do we need some type of a motion to recommend the proposal as presented?
You do not, but you can take a motion to recommend that.
Okay.
So you would need two separate votes. We have not yet had a vote on the withdrawal of the November 2023 proposal.
Mm-hmm.
We would need a vote to withdraw that proposal, and then you could make a separate vote to recommend the advancement of transfer to the Audit Bureau, or a separate vote to recommend the advancement of the draft ordinance for 6-month extension.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would also be helpful to, and you mentioned earlier that the PUC Commission doesn't need to approve anything officially for this transition to happen, do you think it maybe would be helpful to have some type of a presentation at a PUC Commission meeting to basically, you know, I could be there, CFO can be there to discuss the this transition, just like a you know, 5-minute presentation or something, just where we're at now and what?
It could be part of the recommendation that a transition presentation would be presented to the PUC, and that could also be part of the final annual report for RBOC, if and as you choose to prepare and advance the final report. That's typically a moment where RBOC presents to the general manager, and
mm-hmm.
that report also has historically gone to the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe we can take a motion to withdraw the draft ordinance from last year for a 4-year extension, if there's a motion for that.
Second.
Okay. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
On the motion as offered by Vice Chair Boothie, seconded by Member Visser, to withdraw the November version of the extension ordinance, noting that Member Camp is absent. Member Leung?
Aye.
Leung, aye. Chair Boothie, Vice Chair Boothie?
Aye.
Boothie, aye. Member Visser?
Aye.
Visser, aye. Chair Holober?
Aye.
Holober, aye. Mr. Chair, there are 4 ayes and Member Camp absent.
Okay. And now,
so I have a question about the second proposed motion, right? As opposed to the previous motion, which we just voted aye on, is this second motion about the recommendation, is that time sensitive for November, or is that something that it does it make a difference if we do that in November versus October, given that would be after the election?
I don't think it really matters, but
yeah, I mean, I think the problem is you don't have a lot of alternatives at that point. Like, if you say, oh, the elections go and there's no more interest in removing this committee, there's not a lot of opportunity for us to even
get on the board calendar.
It's kind of, it's done at that point.
Yeah.
So it's like we can, so that's why it's kind of like, I don't know what the value of waiting until then is. If we start it now, at least then we're talking through what are our options for communicating, what we want to communicate in the final report, if there are things we can look at the audit findings before then. We're kind of moving forward with that path.
Fair enough.
If we decide today.
Yeah, I think it, again, given we only have 2 more meetings, it like crams whatever else we want to do into fewer, less time.
Mm-hmm.
And to Member Beezer's point, it's not clear what we gain by waiting, but it's clear to me that we lose.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion? And I don't know what the wording of that would be.
Is this more taking kind of the proposal that we were presented with today and saying that we, you know, recommend that going forward in terms of how it's been proposed and like kind of work through what our communications will be around that?
I think the first part of that, I think we'd be moving to recommend transferring RBOC's audit function to the PUC's audit bureau as presented to us today.
Okay.
Can that be the motion?
Is that a motion?
That's
okay.
Can we consider it like moving?
You're the mover for this?
Yeah. Do you have a second?
Second the motion.
Okay.
The motion as presented by Vice Chair Vuthy, seconded by Member Leong, to endorse the plan to transfer RBOC audit function to the Audit Bureau as presented, noting that Member Camp is absent. Member Leong?
Aye.
Leong, aye. Vice Chair Vuthy?
Aye.
Vuthy, aye. Member Veser?
Aye.
Veser, aye. Chair Holliver?
Aye.
Holliver, aye. Mr. Chair, there are four ayes once again with Member Camp absent.
Okay. Well, thank you. Sure, this will come up again maybe at the next meeting, although maybe to discuss some type of an update to this, I don't know. I guess we can talk about that offline or later on. But now let's move on to item number four, the audit update. And we have with us some folks from CSA and Eugene Yano as well.
Yes, good morning, committee members. I am Masanity Johns, lead audit manager with the Audits and Public Integrity team of the Audits Division within the Controller's Office. I'm here today to provide the audit update to RBOC. Hunter Wang, the other manager, is out this day. But glad to be here with you this morning with our audit team, HKA, and Yano Accountancy. Representatives are Tasha Dunn and Eugene Yano. And we have a quick update, really, and that's the team is still in field work. The audit team is still in field work, and field work is progressing well. And we still have the draft audit report slated for November. And just given the conversation of the prior agenda item, I'll just add some context. HKA Global and Yano Accountancy would give that draft report, that first complete draft report, to CSA Audit's lead managers and audit managers. So that's myself and Hunter Wang. We would do our review, and then that would start the review cycle amongst CSA Audit's, RBOC representative, PUC points of contact, and CSA Audit's executive leadership. That overall quality assurance review process of the draft audit report would take about 1 to 2 months. So that would probably give us a target date of around a Q3 issuance.
I'm sorry, what's the issuance target date?
That would be a target issuance around Q3. If a draft report is coming out in November, we're estimating about a 1 to 2 complete review window, given the normal time frames we provide for each party's reviews. And then we'll narrow that timing when we get closer to either end of this quarter or entering into Q3. We can be a little more clear with those target dates. And that's all of our updates at this moment. I can take any questions, as well as AKA and Yano Accountancy.
Okay, thank you. Are there any comments or questions from the committee?
So just to make sure I heard that right, then what I heard was we could potentially have a review of the draft audit findings at our November meeting.
It's ready before our November meeting.
If it's ready before.
Which our second Tuesday, right?
I believe we typically don't receive those findings until the report is published. I think that's CSA's. Correct me if I'm wrong, but typically only one member of the committee is able to review the draft.
Correct. And I cannot recall yet if for this third round, the committee has offered or motioned on who that representative would be to review. But I can't say at this meeting if the draft would be ready by the November RBOC meeting because it usually happens earlier in the month. However, the audit team is very intentional in communicating observations very early on. So our PUC contacts will be apprised of those draft findings or observations, possibly before the November meeting. But if RBOC would want some representation, then having someone who can be a representative be identified will allow the audit team to correspond with that person as well as PUC earlier on when we get those observations.
Okay, so that's one thing we can do today is at least identify that person, and depending on, you know, when the draft is ready, you know, that person will know that they're ready to do it and keep things moving along. In the past, I think it was a member of camp at the previous audit. He's not here today. It could be somebody else this time around. Could it potentially be two members since that's still not a quorum of the committee? No? If they review it separately and not in the same room at the same time?
I don't know the historical practice. This is more of a question for CSA. Two of the five members could receive the document and not discuss and share it with each other, but no more than that. And if historical practice has been to send it to one member, I would advise that we continue with that historical practice.
Okay. Is there anyone here interested in reviewing the draft audit findings?
I mean, I'm happy to if you guys want me to. But I thought maybe you would want to.
Oh, no, it doesn't have to be me, no.
I'm totally fine if you would like
to. I'm going to be out for a part of November, so.
I'll talk to you.
Yeah,
I'm fine to do it.
Okay. So, yeah, can we I'll make a motion to appoint Member Luther to review the draft audit findings once those are available. There's a second.
Okay. But I'll just be clear because I'm hearing I'm not allowed to share what I know, though, with the committee at all at the next meeting or two.
Yeah, I think it's just to provide your feedback internally to the audit team if there's anything that, you know, catches your attention.
Okay.
The motion will be in order after you take public comment.
Okay. Yes, can we take public comment on this agenda item, please?
Hang on just a moment while I finish my notes. Is there anyone here in the Tuolumne room who has public comment on agenda item number 4? Appears not. If you're connected remotely and you wish to speak on this item, please raise your hand inside Teams and we'll hear from you for 3 minutes or fewer. And Mr. Chair, it appears we have no speakers.
Okay. Can we have the roll call vote then, please?
We'll close public comment.
Okay. Public comment is closed.
And on the motion offered by Chair Holober, seconded by Member Vuthi, to nominate Member Visser to review the draft report once it is released and provide feedback back to CSA on that motion, noting Member Camp absent. Member Leung?
Aye.
Leung, aye. Vice Chair Vuthi?
Aye.
Vuthi, aye. Member Visser?
Aye.
Visser, aye. Chair Holober?
Aye.
Holober, aye. Mr. Chair, there are 4 ayes with Member Camp absent.
Okay. So that the item is approved. We will now go on to item number 5, which is the approval of minutes from the September 10th meeting. Everyone's had an opportunity to look through the minutes.
I wasn't here for the previous meeting, so these minutes are based on review with Victor Young. Thank you so much to Victor Young for sitting in and taking these notes. But I don't have any changes to present to any of you.
I have a question. I see on item number 5 mentions Irella Blackwood, I believe, is a PUC employee, not a controller's office employee.
Right there. Okay.
From SFPC.
Very good.
From City Services Auditor.
I will make that correction.
It identifies you as a representative of the City Services Auditor and Controller's Office. Seeing no other comments, can we open public comment on this item,
if
please?
You are connected remotely and you have public comment on the form of the minutes as presented as agenda item number 5, please raise your hand at this time. And it appears that we don't have any speakers either here in the Tuolumne room or remotely who have comment on this item.
Okay. Public comment is closed. Can we have a motion on the minutes?
With the clerical correction.
I approve the minutes with the correction.
Okay. 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 We'll call vote, please.
Do you want to just take that same call or without objection?
Sure. Sure. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, there we go. I'm going to note the member Camp is absent on this vote once again, but otherwise you have 4 ayes.
Okay. Now moving on to item 6, which is announcements, comments, questions, future agenda items. I believe I had shared with members of the committee I'm not available November 12th. Actually, that whole week I'll be out. I suggested the following Tuesday, November 19th, as a potential alternative meeting date. I don't have to be there with $4 going away anyways, but I think several of us are okay with the November 19th alternative meeting date.
It sounded like we had court, but Member Long, you're not available?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you are.
I think Member Beach
is. But Member Camp is supposed to be back.
Member Camp will be available, yeah. I mean, I'd also open any other date that week, Monday, Wednesday. I'm pretty flexible.
Assuming it's okay with the PC staff to shift it to the 19th from the 12th?
It may not be in this conference
room.
All right. I will make a note that we are going to change the schedule date for the November meeting to the 19th from the 12th. That's fine.
Okay.
And our next one is the December 10th meeting.
Right. That's likely the final meeting. We have some special meeting December 31st to the audit. It's moving at warp speed. And
December 31st.
Okay. Any other comments? I saw that discussion of finding two. Maybe we could take that off the.
Would you like me to remove all of these things from your calendar?
Unless there's any state or federal loans or anything notable to be reported in November or December. If anything comes across your radar, you're welcome to make a presentation at the next meeting, but I think likely these will be eliminated.
I'm going to eliminate them.
Okay. All right. I don't think we have to take any action.
I recommend you actually make a motion to remove all of the trailing items at the back end of the agenda.
Okay. I'll move to eliminate items A through E. Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Okay. There we go. We're noting that Member Camp is absent once again from this vote, but you have 4 ayes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We do need to hear public comment before that motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Got caught up in the tide here.
We will withdraw that vote and have a public comment. open up for public comment.
Do we have anyone who has public comment on agenda item number 6, these announcements, comments, questions, and future agenda items? If you're connected remotely and you have comment on these items, please raise your hand at this time. Or if you're here in the Tuolumne room, please express your desire to speak for 3 minutes or fewer. Mr. Chair, it looks like we have no commenters.
Okay. Public comment is closed. Let's. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
There you go. You've got 4 ayes and member Camp absent.
Okay. And with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
It's been the most productive meeting.